You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last week, a group of 28 Idaho lawmakers sent Boise State's newly minted president a letter targeting the school's diversity programs. The letter says the programs create, quote, unnecessary costs. Democratic lawmakers fired back with a letter of their own to Boise State President Marlene Trump, who started her new role July 1st. Democrats argue multicultural events and programs, quote, celebrate diversity and drive academic success. Joining us today by phone from her district in Idaho Falls is Representative Barbara Ehart. She is the chairwoman of the House Education Committee. She also wrote the original letter to President Trump last week. Also joining us live in studio is Representative Matt Erpelding. He is House Minority Leader at the Idaho Legislature. I want to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And I also want to tell all of our listeners, if you want to participate in this conversation today, use the hashtag Idaho Matters on Twitter. We will be checking that feed during the next 10 minutes. So get your questions in now if you have them for either of our guests. So Representative Ehart, I'd like to start the conversation with you. What prompted you to write this letter to incoming Boise State President Marlene Trump?
Well, first, thank you for having me, and it's good to be on the air with Matt. I had to think about it. He's a gifted legislator, and let me make one quick correction. I sit on the House Education Committee, and Chairman Clow is our chairman. And anyway, just a quick correction, if I may. But
it's a good clarification. We appreciate that.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's a fantastic question. But what had happened is the interim president had really written down and spelled out in great detail his initiatives for creating new programs that made it sound like we have ongoing problems and systematic discrimination. And basically, he's writing a letter that really hit home to me because I spent 15 years of my life working at four fantastic institutions of higher education where we worked hard to create programs, work with programs, including with our women's basketball program, where we were inclusive, where we created unity. And everything outlined, if we had used programs like into that, we wouldn't have been able to put a winning program on the floor at all because it's completely antithetical to what it means to be inclusive and to unite people. So it's very frustrating to me, having been in that position, to see us going in a direction that I do not think will help anyone, particularly our Idaho kids.
Could there be an argument to be made, though, with what you as you talked about with women's basketball programs, the whole idea of Title IX, when that happened and that really started the inclusivity movement for women in higher education, but also in sports?
You mean as far as having a program that basically said what money was being given to the men or the boys should be given to the women?
Correct.
So basically what that's doing, though, is saying that it has to be fair. So here, though, we're segregating. What we're doing is creating groups that others are not part of and that they're receiving things others are not receiving. I understand the premise of what you're trying to say, but I don't really buy into it because I see it as kind of going in different directions. What if you really want to create unity, you've got to be able to bring all of these different groups together instead of segregating them. Segregation and separation really for me was something truly that, I mean, we truly worked on that and worked to fight that. And so though I know, right now, the conversation on the other side is going the other direction. I can honestly, truly say that it truly does baffle me because I believe it's creating a false narrative of inclusion and diversity by dividing and segregating. And here's a truism, because these concepts are diametrically opposed one to another. You cannot unite by dividing, and you cannot be inclusive by segregating. So that's really the emphasis, from where I'm coming. And my trying to understand, what are we doing?
I want to bring Representative Matt Erpelding into the conversation. And Representative Ehart, thank you for your comments on that. So Representative Erpelding, you and 20 other Democrats in the Idaho House and Senate wrote a letter in response to Representative Ehart. A, why did you do that? And what concerns did you have from that letter?
First, thanks for having me on. And Representative Ehart, it's good to hear your voice. And I know that we are on slightly separate pages here, but I do want to point out I'm glad we're having this conversation. Our concern with this letter has been that it really focused in on a narrow group of initiatives that were occurring at the university that were directly related to helping underserved populations or populations that have a history of being marginalized in the United States and across the world. And in doing so, it neglected to take into account a host of other parts of the university that also allow for us to celebrate diversity in other ways. And I'll just take the graduation piece as a starter. In the letter, it said black graduation and rainbow graduation, and there was an argument that that is a way to segregate. And I would say that the Idaho way and the Idaho that I know as a graduate of Idaho State University and now as an adjunct faculty member at Boise State is that there is a long history of all of the university coming together to celebrate graduation on the whole. So everyone is together. The diverse population that is of Boise State is present, and everybody graduates. There's also a long history of allowing like-minded groups to come together for a mini or an informal graduation. That's not unusual. So ROTC has one. Honors College has one. The Catholics have one. The LDS faith has one. And so by adding black graduation and rainbow graduation as a choice for a subset who have similar and like-mindedness to come together and celebrate what they share together, while at the same time having the large-scale graduation where we celebrate the diversity that makes our community whole, is a good thing. It's not segregation. Segregation, by definition, is saying we're having this event and you flat out are not invited. And that's not the case with any of these smaller groups. In every case, there's an opportunity for anyone to come as an ally of said group. And so when they wrote that, it was troubling because we have such a rich history of celebrating different faiths on campus. We have such a rich history of recognizing that we want to do everything we can to help our military families. We have such a rich history of letting smaller groups that fit within the diversity puzzle celebrate their like-mindedness. And to pick out two very specific marginalized groups as a function of that is really deeply troubling. And then to pin that to tuition increases felt like a use of very hot national social issues to explain away the issue of state funding for tuition. If you look at 2003, for the overhead costs at Boise State, 29% of the Boise State overall fund was needed from student fees and tuition. And if you look at that today, it's 51%. And that's with growth. So your overall funding from the state, the value of that funding is decreasing. And the university has a responsibility of keeping the lights on. And you could say that there are programs that make college more expensive, but there is no way that you go from 70% state funding to 48% state funding in less than 20 years and pin it on initiatives that will help need-based programs, underserved communities, and like-minded graduations that are a function of the larger diversity puzzle.
So, Representative Ehart, I'd like you to respond to what Representative Erpelding just said. And the part that I would like your view on is when he talked about pointing out black graduation and rainbow graduation. Why not include LDS graduation, Catholic graduation, ROTC graduation, honors graduation? Is that not the same in your mind as black graduation and rainbow graduation?
You know, I think that a lot of groups throughout from all universities will have kind of their own celebrations, their own get-togethers afterwards. But, you know, when you have initiatives that are being promoted at a public university, and with when you look at what's happening nationally, it's very much about, you know, social justice, and it purports to say that we have a problem at Boise State. And, you know, actually Boise State, when you look at the numbers as far as growth, Boise State, we actually have, what, a 3.3% growth. It's the one university that is growing. And, you know, it basically is saying that because things have been going wrong, we need to fix it. We've got problems. Maybe we have uprisings. This is the kind of thing that I believe when you look at, again, at other campuses, when you look at history, this is what will create those uprisings, because it's and you know, as Representative Erpelin said, it's that racism says no one can come. I appreciate that, but it's kind of a selective invitation when you're saying we're going to have rainbow graduation. That's specifically for a specific group of people. The Boise State would not fund a, for example, a Christian, you know, faith-based graduation ceremony, because we don't do that, because that's not what the government is.
But can I interject in the fact that
absolutely,
but ROTC graduation does happen, and that is only for people that go through ROTC, honors graduation, not a party, not a get-together, a graduation. Every department has their own graduation.
And
is that not the same? That's just, I'm just trying to understand,
right?
You know,
absolutely.
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And so the difference there is that you have more of a larger umbrella, and within that graduation, all of these other diverse groups can come together. And I believe that's actually how you create unity. So when you have an honors graduation, within that, you're going to have people from the gay community, the Black community, the Hispanic community, the faith community. I think all of
but they all have to have a certain GPA.
But right. But do you see what I mean, though? It's not segregating based on one of these specific qualities that right now is creating a huge, I don't know, shall we say, incivility throughout the United States. I mean, I want to see us do things. What I really want to see is to promote programs that will bring us together, unity, that unify these groups. I feel like what's going to happen is this is going to create the commotion on campus that we're seeing in all these other places. We don't have to have that here. You know, a lot of what Matt said, I agree with. It's frustrating, because how do we get there? But I don't think treating these special supposedly diverse groups of people, because I don't see these groups as being diversity. They're very selective. Diversity means an inclusion of everybody, bringing everybody to the table. That's at least how I see it. My mind is probably stuck, all of ours are. It's based on the experiences that we had and that we had to use to make things happen. And I don't see this as being unifying. I see it as creating wedges between groups. And the other problem that we've run into is, as we talk about diversity and inclusivity, what's being left out oftentimes is that conservative voice and certainly people of faith. But even on Boise State, that voice has been shut down. And that's probably as disconcerting to me as anything, that what we do needs to make sure, no matter what, our First Amendment rights are being allowed to be expressed.
And
I'd
like to just take 1 second to clarify
there
actually is a Catholic graduation and there actually is an LDS graduation. So when we say that there aren't Christian focused graduations on campus, that's not true. And the truth is that the rich history that we have in the diversity puzzle is that each specific group that has a shared set of values or a shared set of life experiences, when they flow into the large picture, that's how you get to inclusivity. And you don't get there by saying that one group doesn't represent diversity or another group doesn't represent diversity. You get there by allowing like-minded groups to share their shared experience and encouraging them to come and share that experience with the larger diverse whole. The other piece that was concerning for us was stating that 6 graduate scholarships for underserved minority communities is driving up costs, or saying that trainings to help eliminate bias in hiring drives up cost. Both of those are, again, addressing really specific things as we continue to work to improve our world. We know that in hiring situations, there are biases. There's biases against women. There's biases against our minority communities. There's bias against the status of white males. There's bias everywhere. And when we try to eliminate that through education, we end up hiring the best person for the job, regardless of what their background is. And that's critically important as Boise State continues to rise in the ranks. The other piece is on the scholarship front. There are two models for scholarship, and actually both of them need to be progressed at the same time. That is scholarships that are based on merit and scholarships that are based on need. We know that from a socioeconomic perspective, needs-based scholarships help underserved communities close a socioeconomic gap. And when a letter says, don't do this because you're driving division, when the science bears out that we need to do everything we can to close that socioeconomic gap, it's a bit of a problem.
And I just want to reset real quick, talking with Representative Barbara Ehart and Representative Matt Erpelding. We're talking about the letter that was sent by 28 legislators to Boise State University, talking about issues with inclusion. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we are still monitoring our Twitter account. Give us send us a question. Use the hashtag Idaho Matters. And speaking of that, we got a question from Toni Lawson on Twitter, and I want to read her question. And Representative Ehart, if you could answer this, why was Boise State the target of legislators when every public Idaho university has diversity and inclusion programs?
goodness, excuse me. Before I answer that, let me just also point out, because Matt's right, there are universities do have graduations for faith-based, but that's not sponsored. When I say universities have faith-based have graduation for themselves, it's not sponsored by universities, and I think there lies a difference. As far as why was Boise State targeted, that's targeted wouldn't necessarily be the word I'd choose, but it was a response to the letter the interim president, Martin Schimpf, had sent out, and that letter was disconcerting for the reasons of which we're speaking right now, but also because as he's identifying all of these initiatives and basically saying we need to push this forward and it needs to go now, you know, we were in the process of bringing a brand new president in, and he's taking this opportunity to, shall we say, leave his mark when it really wasn't his position, in my opinion, in our opinion, to do so. I think it puts Dr. Trump in a bad position of feeling like she's obligated now to continue on this. And really she needed to probably, which she's doing, engage in these conversations and hear where some of our concerns are, as well as the concerns that, Matt brings forward. And I think that was probably my bigger concern, what he was pushing forward, and especially, you know, leaving it defeated, the incoming president, and then he was walking away and not allowing us to have opportunity to engage with him. It was just a poor use and timing, in our opinion, as to what he did. And we needed to respond.
And I need to wrap this up quickly, but I want to ask one last question. I know we could talk about this the entire hour, honestly, and I appreciate both of you taking the time to have a civilized conversation about this. But my last question for both of you, is there anything within either of the letters that you wrote that the two of you or the two parties can agree on?
Certainly, I think there's something that we can agree on, and that is tuition rates continue to go up. And in both letters, the tuition was addressed. But the other thing I think we can agree on is that what Boise State is doing is working. They've got a retention rate that was 60% 15 years ago, and they're up to 80%. They have record graduating bachelor classes every year. And they continue to see more high school graduates apply for Boise State than any of the other institutions. And so what Boise State is doing, and to clarify, the diversity inclusion programs were put in place by Dr. Kustra. Interim President Schimpf extended those and continued those, and we hope that President Trump continues to do her best with her expertise to make sure that Boise State continues to trend in the way that it has been over the last 15 years.
Representative Ehart?
Oh, I absolutely. This is the beginning of conversations we hope will continue. I agree with Matt, particularly tuition. The interesting part with tuition was many of us had been engaging in conversations on how to drop tuition, and then this program was something that was shooting it in the opposite direction. But Boise State has been doing many things right up to this point. The numbers, as Matt pointed out, proved it. And so one of the biggest things I would like to say is I want to make sure as a public institution, not just a Boise State, but all of ours, that we make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that all of our Idaho kids, and I think Matt would agree with this, in principle, but that all of our idle kids have an opportunity to get a higher education if they want it, that it's affordable, and that when they completed their you know, 4 or 5 years, they're not walking away with a debt that's so burdensome that it'll hold them down for the next 10, 15, 20 years of their life. So I appreciate this giving me this opportunity to participate with the two of you, and I look forward to the conversations that we're going to have with President Trump. And I see nothing but our ability to create win-win situations going forward. I really do.
I want to thank both of you for taking the time today and having this conversation. We've been talking with Representative Barbara Ehart and Representative Matt Erpelding, talking about the letter that was sent to the new Boise State University president about inclusion and diversity. Again, thank you both for the conversation. When we come back, we're actually going to be talking to a Boise State University student about their feelings about this. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.